This is True News. I'm Rick Wiles. There is a growing chorus of voices in the USA calling for a new lockdown of American society to battle the second wave of coronavirus infections. White House coronavirus advisor Dr. Deborah Birx said on Sunday that the United States is experiencing an extraordinarily widespread outbreak of the virus in small towns and farming areas. We have this report from Reuters.
A top U.S. health official on Sunday warned that the country is in a new phase of the novel coronavirus outbreak, with infections, quote, extraordinarily widespread in rural areas as well as big cities. Dr. Deborah Birx, the White House Coronavirus Task Force coordinator, told CNN's State of the Union, quote, what we are seeing today is different from March and April. It is extraordinarily widespread. To everybody who lives in a rural area, you are not immune or protected from this virus. Birx said people living in multi-generational households in areas with outbreaks should wear masks inside the home to protect the elderly or those with underlying conditions. Birx also said the Trump administration has been working on individual reports for each state examining community trends and hospital records. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said on Sunday she does not have confidence in Birx, linking her to disinformation spread by President Trump. Pelosi told ABC's This Week, quote, I think the president has been spreading disinformation about the virus and she is his appointee, so I don't have confidence there, no. Birx, asked on CNN about Pelosi's comment, said she had great respect for the speaker and attributed the criticism to a New York Times article on the White House pandemic response that described Birx as having embraced overly optimistic assessments on the virus. Birx added, quote, I've never been Pollyannish, nor non-scientific or non-data-driven. I will stake my 40-year career on those fundamental principles of using data to implement better programs and save lives. The coronavirus has infected 4.6 million people in the U.S. and killed more than 155,000 Americans, according to a Reuters tally.
Russia is preparing to launch a nationwide mass vaccination campaign later this year. Health Minister Mikhail Murashko said a government research facility in Moscow had completed clinical trials of a vaccine, and the documents are being prepared now to register it. Doctors and school teachers will be the first people vaccinated in Russia, possibly by late August or early September. The mass vaccination campaign will begin in October. The International Council of Nurses wants all nurses and healthcare workers in the world to be vaccinated as a top priority over any other group. The ICN represents 130 national nursing associations around the world. As nations race to introduce coronavirus vaccines, the World Health Organization has warned that vaccines have not yet been proven effective and may only provide protection for a short time. Here's a report from Reuters.
The World Health Organization warned on Monday that despite strong hopes for a vaccine,
there is no silver bullet at the moment. And there might never be.
The director general of the WHO said there were concerns that vaccines might not prove effective or that they might convey protections for just a few months. He said, for now, stopping outbreaks hinged on the difficult task of testing, tracing, and social distancing. According to a Reuters tally, more than 18 million people around the world are reported to have been infected with the disease, and 688,000 have died. With cases spiraling globally, the fatality rate appears to hover somewhere below 1%. But Maria van Kerkhove, the WHO's lead technical expert on COVID-19, emphasized that number still reflects a global cause for alarm.
That may not sound like a lot, but it is quite high. If you think about a virus that can transmit readily, that can transmit well.
The UN body's emergencies program director said that nations with particularly high transmission rates, such as Brazil and India, needed to gird themselves for a grinding fight against the novel coronavirus.
The way out is long, and it requires a sustained commitment to doing many, many what on the face of it are very simple things, but are difficult to actually implement.
The United States remains the global epicenter of the pandemic, with more than 4.5 million cases and north of 155,000 deaths.
It's not our job to tell the U.S. What it should be doing at subnational level.
The World Health Organization declined to comment on Washington's response to the crisis, but said that while the science was clear, leaders weren't always willing to listen.
The difficulty for us all is sometimes we know the right path. The difficulty is choosing to walk it.
Well, Doc Burkhardt and Edward Zoll are ready to discuss the renewed demands for lockdowns, mass vaccination campaigns. Plus, later in the program, a warning that Scotland's new hate speech law may criminalize possession of the Holy Bible. Plus, we'll be talking about new information regarding a possible criminal investigation involving President Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Gentlemen, glad to have you back.
And we survived the hurricane.
We did.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks to our Heavenly Father who answered our prayers. We know many people prayed for us, but we prayed for ourselves too.
Yes, we did.
We gathered our team together on Friday afternoon. Late in the afternoon, and we prayed. And the two things that we always pray when Florida is faced with a hurricane is that our Heavenly Father will weaken the storm and then push it out eastward into the sea.
And that's what happened this
time.
And
that's exactly what he did. And so I never turned on television one time. I never watched one news network, because it was all hype. I knew in my spirit, this thing is not going to hit us. We didn't even get rain. Did you notice that?
It spit a little bit on Sunday. That's about it here. And so, but we even up till Sunday, they were expecting tropical storm-like conditions, but nothing really here in the Treasure Coast area.
No, it didn't happen. So,
but there was another disaster.
We give
that
God.
Was
pretty good, I want everybody to know. We glorify God.
Yes.
We glorify God. And if you're along the east coast of the United States, the news media is telling you that you're next to be wiped out by this storm. Listen, stand in faith in the name of Jesus Christ and speak to the storm. Speak to it. In the authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ, command it to weaken and move eastward into the sea. And there's enough of us as Christians, as believers in this land, that we can make this happen. Listen, it doesn't take a million. It can take one person with faith.
That's right.
Right? You can speak to that storm, and you don't have to just sit there and wait on a hurricane to show up and rip up your house and everything. Well, here in Vero Beach, we had the honor of being the host city for the Weather Channel.
That's right.
So they set up shop in Vero Beach last week, expecting the big hurricane to come ripping through the Treasure Coast and providing a lot of video for the Weather Channel to sell advertising.
Right. It's like their Super Bowl, right?
They didn't get a tropical storm. They didn't even get wet.
They even sent Jim Cantore here to Vero Beach.
He was the man himself.
So.
But you know what? Do you know what the Weather Channel did? I don't know if you watch it. I don't watch it. I didn't waste my time watching it, but I heard about it, and somebody told me about it. So I went to Weather Channel. I went to their website to check and see. Did they really say that?
They sure did.
They called it a COVID cane. There you go. Look at that.
The hurricane wasn't enough. We also had a COVID cane.
COVID cane. Coming to Florida. They hyped it up. A lot of drama. A hurricane mixed with COVID-19.
Right.
How could it get worse, Doc? I mean, were we supposed to believe that the hurricane was going to whip up all the viruses in Florida, and recirculate them in the whole state, and the virus would be coming down in the raindrops? Is that what a Covocaine is?
That's essentially what they were saying, Rick, that it could stir up all the atmosphere and all the air around the area. They even posted this on their Twitter feed. Your safety is our top priority, which is why we'll be live. Whether it's forecast alerts or updates from government officials, we have the latest on the Weather Channel. But they were really, and I did watch the Weather Channel a little bit, mm-hmm. and I just had to laugh every
time. Trouble falling asleep or something?
They were, they kept talking about the COVID came because a lot of the areas were under two emergency alerts by the governor.
Okay, but you're watching the Weather Channel, and they're broadcasting from Vero Beach, and you were in Vero Beach.
Right.
Was there a disconnect with reality and what they were saying and what you were experiencing?
Sure, there was. There was a big
like you
disconnect.
Watch the Weather Channel, and then you go to your porch, and you look in your backyard.
There's nothing there.
It's not there.
Birds flying around, everybody's happy. So.
Well, the pressure system was really low, but I have a feeling that based on this COVID cane coverage, they may have been...
Standard of quality was much lower.
Yeah, I think so. I think they might have been doing something else. But
well, hey, one thing I've learned after these years living in Florida is it when you hear that a hurricane is headed towards Florida, don't watch the national news networks. Don't turn to CNN or Fox or MSNBC or any of the national news networks because they're all drama queens. They want eyeballs watching their network to sell advertising. That's all it's about.
They don't sell advertising if there's good weather.
Of course not.
Only if there's bad weather.
It has to be bad weather. So the thing to do if you're concerned about a hurricane coming towards Florida is find the region that they think it may make landfall and go to the live stream of the TV stations in that local community in Florida or whatever state where a storm is coming in. But don't get your weather information from the Weather Channel or Fox News or CNN. Just find out what's going on locally, and you'll discover they're not the same. What's being reported in local communities is not the same that's being reported nationally. And so if people who were watching the Weather Channel over the weekend must have thought Vero Beach was going to blow away, there was going to be a storm surge. It was horrible what was coming, a Covocaine, virus particles circulating in the water, in the air.
70 miles per hour. So,
yes, And we're all here in Vero Beach saying, what an awesome weekend. It's windy, it's beautiful, and there's no rain. And
no mosquitoes.
No mosquitoes. It was wonderful. So that's what the news media is doing to us. Something else to be aware of, the first big clinical trial of a coronavirus vaccine is starting soon. And guess who they're going to practice on? Guess who they're going to test? I mean, usually it's animals, right?
Right. But we don't have time for that, Rick. We've got to get a vaccine out now.
So they're going to...
People are dying, right?
So the monkeys and the chimps and all the primates, they're not going to be injected with coronavirus to see if they die from the vaccine. So who are they going to test the vaccine on? If they're not torturing chimpanzees, who are they going to inject the experimental vaccine in?
Unfortunately, grandma and grandpa, that's where they're going to start off with.
Really?
Yes. So Eli Lilly tests antibody drug to halt COVID-19 spread in U.S. nursing homes. That sounds like a great title, halting the spread, but what you have to really get in the article to understand that they are testing the drug in nursing homes. They're not using it to halt the spread. They're actually testing
testing it on elderly people in nursing homes. What is something like 2,400 senior citizens?
Yes, in the initial study here, and that's expected to expand greatly if they get positive results. What does a positive result look like, Rick?
They continue
only
living.
Only a certain percentage of people die? I mean, that's
so
where
if some of these 2,400 senior citizens in nursing homes, if they die during or immediately after the test, will Eli Lilly take responsibility, or will the government simply say They died of coronavirus.
Well, they already get a pass, Rick, because the Senate passed legislation last week that absolved pharmaceutical companies from any sort of lawsuits during this time.
Well, I'm going to fall off my chair. I can't believe that. Our Congress did that?
Yes, our Congress.
You mean the pharmaceutical industry has that much power over the U.S. Congress?
Yes, they do.
Well, certainly President Trump didn't sign it.
I haven't heard any opposition from President Trump about it. So. Yeah.
Now, the pharmaceutical companies always get their exemption from liability. Therefore, if people die, well, stuff happens. That's the attitude. It's been like that ever since 2001. The next one, this is South China Morning Post. Coronavirus cases worldwide pass 18 million as hard-hit U.S. enters a new phase. That's what people in Hong Kong read today. The U.S. has entered a new phase of the pandemic. And we don't know what the numbers are anymore. The numbers are so skewed. I mean, nobody really knows. Is it 18 million? Is it 8 million? Nobody knows. I'm not even going to guess. If they've been fudging the numbers in other countries like they have here, the number of infections may be a million. We don't know.
That's right.
And when you lose confidence in the health officials and government agencies, then the result is skepticism and then cynicism.
Right. They've lied to us before, so how do we know we can trust you now? How do we know it, Rick? We really don't know it.
You don't know. You simply don't know. As we saw earlier in the Reuters report, Dr. Birx is stating that the U.S. has entered this new phase, extraordinarily widespread cases of coronavirus. We've got a video clip of Dr. Birx talking about it.
In recent days, you've named 20, we're putting them up on the screen, 20 of the 50 states as places you're watching. So are we in a new phase of the pandemic? And if so, what are you going to do to change course?
I think those are two very critical questions, because we are in a new phase. And that's why I really wanted to make it clear to the American people. It's why we started putting out governor reports directly to the health officials and the governors in every single state, because we could see that each thing had to be tailored. So each state has a tailored set of recommendations based on what we're seeing at the community level, what we're seeing relevant to the hospitals. And each of these responses have to be dramatically tailored. We are beginning to see an impact from the mitigation procedures that many of the state and local officials have put into place. But I want to be very clear, what we're seeing today is different from March and April. It is extraordinarily widespread. It's into the rural as equal urban areas. And to everybody who lives in a rural area, you are not immune or protected from this virus. And that's why we keep saying, no matter where you live in America, you need to wear a mask and socially distance, do the personal hygiene pieces. But more importantly, if you're in multi-generational households and there's an outbreak in your rural area or in your city, you need to really consider wearing a mask at home, assuming that you're positive if you have individuals in your households with comorbidities. This epidemic right now is different, and it's more widespread, and it's both rural and urban.
What do you think, Doc?
Once again, I think the virus is real, but the response is fake. I think everything's being ginned up in order to control people and to put it on an agenda to get people to submit to whatever agenda is coming down, because the real agenda is coming down the pike. This isn't it right now. The real submission, I mean, they're talking now about everybody wearing face shields, okay? Next, it'll be, you know, be PPE suits. It'll be everything.
Well, Doc, I'll give you an example. I want to show you what I found the other day at Qatar Airlines. There, if you board a Qatar Airlines airliner,
yes,
there's your flight attendants. Yeah. I would get off a plane if I. I would go. What is going on here? What is this? A flying hospital?
And Qatar Airways is not an inexpensive airline at all. This is one of the most elite airlines in the world. And they offer privacy suites. Of course, you've got to pay for a privacy suite. If you're in general boarding, you're just going to have to tough it out and deal with the virus back there, I guess. But in the privacy suites, you can actually be sealed in, if you like. I don't know if I want to be sealed in on an airplane or not.
Well, I'm sure many haven't wanted to. And this has been the norm since May. They've actually had this in effect since May.
And they also offer one other thing, Rick. It's not in this particular article. It was on their promotional site that says that if you contract coronavirus within a certain number of days after your flight, your flight insurance will cover all costs related to health care related to coronavirus. If you contract it any time within a certain number of days after you've flown with Qatar Airways.
Oh, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
So you can fly with the security of knowing that all your health care costs will be taken care of. Right?
If airlines think dressing up your flight attendants in hazmat suit
and giving you free health insurance,
if airlines think that makes me feel warm and fuzzy and I want to get on a plane and take a trip somewhere, they are really deceiving themselves, because that scares me.
Well, a lot of people are feeling that same way, Rick. As a matter of fact, all over the world now, I mean, you're seeing airports with dozens, sometimes even hundreds of planes parked. This article coming up here, this is in Hong Kong and Singapore. It's just a list of 10 airports with the most parked jets. Now, we've been to both those airports in the past, to Hong Kong, Singapore, and a number of others.
But, two of the best and biggest airports in the world.
Really? And hundreds of planes parked all over the world. Air travel will never be the same again. In fact, there's reports last week that says air travel can't even be expected to return to normal until at least the end of 2024, beginning of 2025.
What's interesting about this story is that something it does help, and help complete if you wanted to go the route of this, is transporting troops, transporting personnel. If you're about to start a war and you have hundreds upon thousands of empty passenger planes sitting in airports around the globe for you to use to move troops and supplies, well, right now is the best time. It's not filled with people.
What makes you think about commandeering empty planes to start a World War III?
I never thought about that. The reason I thought about it is that's how I got to Iraq. Our last leg was on a C-130, but every other part of that journey from Fort Stewart, Georgia, to the Middle East was on a passenger airplane. We actually contracted a passenger airplane to do that.
So if you had if you thought, well, let's start World War III, where are we going to get the planes to move the troops?
No problem. They're parked all over the world.
This is a South China Morning Post article. 131 jetliners parked at Hong Kong International Airport.
Wow.
Not sitting there waiting to take off. Parked.
Yes.
124 jets at Singapore's airport. On this list, of the top 10 airports in the world with jetliners parked unused, just sitting there. Tucson International in Arizona.
Is that where the plane graveyard is?
It's the boneyard. That's because of the desert, the dry climate.
Let's preserve the airplanes.
Yeah, you go out to Tucson, and there's just thousands and thousands of planes of different ages. I mean, you can go way back, and some really old planes are sitting there.
And they also store the unsold cars there, too?
No, they're all here in Florida.
Okay.
It's interesting to note that the number one airport in all of that, Rick, was Roswell International Air Center in Roswell, New Mexico. They've got nearly 400 planes parked there at the Roswell Airport.
I didn't see landing
for UFOs or anything there because you got too many planes parked.
Oh, I didn't go down that far. Roswell International is number one.
Yes, nearly 400.
Marana Air Park in Arizona.
And Victorville. Now, what's
and then Victorville, California.
What's interesting about all three of these airports is that they're all three in deserts.
Yes.
And the reason
first, second, third, and fourth place in the world for airliners sitting on the ground are all in this southwestern or western United States.
And the reason why is they normally they park jets if they're going to keep them in long-term storage. We're talking about a year, two years, 3 years. They keep them in very dry climates to preserve them. So because places like Hong Kong and Singapore where you have high humidity, you know, the rust works no matter where you are in the world. And so so the dry air in the southwest is why they've parked nearly, you know, over 1,200 planes when you start doing the math altogether. So,
Singapore is going to start requiring some travelers to wear an RFID chip, you know, a bracelet. You get tagged when you arrive at the airport.
Here we go. Why don't they just put it right under your skin if you're going to go that far? But you're actually going to be tagged like an animal when you come into the airport, and you get to have the tag removed when you get back to the airport when you leave.
And this device will send alerts. It's actually, it's active throughout. It's used through Bluetooth and GPS, but it will periodically buzz you or send you a message, and you have to acknowledge it, or it will alert the authorities. And if you don't follow this, you tamper with it, or you just, you know, leave your home because it's GPS tracking you, there will be a $10,000 fine, $7,000 in U.S. dollars, and up to 6 months in prison.
In a Singapore prison.
Singapore.
At a time when they've let the prisoners out for coronavirus.
And Singapore is a place that's very serious about locking people up. They'll lock you up for spitting chewing gum on the sidewalk. So you're certain, like months after the coronavirus pandemic is officially over, all of those restrictions at the airport will stop.
You know, it's hard to pull back from restrictions that you've already made, isn't it? Because once you've got your foot in the door, you go on through the door, right? And so that's why it's likely going to stay in place. And it's going to be so successful in Singapore, other airports are going to say, this is great, let's do this too.
Of course, I'm being sarcastic about it because these things are never going to go away.
That's right.
It's a new norm.
That's what's very troubling here. We're seeing a new norm on international travel. Then you will see it in national travel. Then you will see it in local travel.
Yes.
And they'll just continuously restrict your mobility to move around. Then it'll get to the place you can't get out of your residential neighborhood.
Where your home.
Yes. That's what I mean. So when do HOAs start enforcing these kinds of regulations? That's where I think it's going.
Don't give them any ideas here in Florida.
No, I think they're going in that direction. One country that is having an explosion of cases is Australia, in particular Melbourne. And this story is from the Herald Sun newspaper. Melbourne prepares for full force of stage four lockdown as businesses battle against closure. So as I was reading this today, Edward, I was realizing how severe the lockdown is in Melbourne starting today.
Well, the thing with this story, and I think this is the truth across all the stories about major explosions, Melbourne has a population of 5 million. It's the capital city of the Australian state of Victoria. But if you read the first line of that story, it says, as the state recorded another 429 new cases and 13 deaths on Monday. These major shutdown measures are being considered. 429 cases is a penny in the bucket
out of 5 million
people living in that city.
Right, and you don't want anyone to die of anything, but Edward's right, Rick, in that, you know, numbers-wise, out of 5 million people, that is just a small number. But they're shutting down virtually everything. They're shut down retail shops. They're shutting down, big retailers there.
Schools, child care centers,
yes.
Funerals.
Yes, no more funerals.
You can't even have somebody come to your house and do lawn care or cleaning.
That's right. The one that shocked me about this phase four lockdown, Rick, was the cutback on construction crews. So construction has to be limited to 25% of their current workforce. Now, of course, most construction people are working outdoors. And so now, basically, Rick, they're saying, you know, even if you work outdoors, the coronavirus is going to get you. It's going to hunt you down and find out where you're working at and come and knock on your door.
If you have a pet, you can only take the pet outside one time per day.
Well, they tried that in Israel. People completely ignored those measures, but that's ridiculous.
But listen what gets to stay open. News agents, which a newspaper stands, banks, service stations, pharmacies, grocery stores, and liquor stores. The liquor stores get to stay open in a coronavirus pandemic because you got to drink yourself silly, I guess. So.
What about churches? Are they closing down churches?
Well, likely they will, and so in all of this. And so because groups of people meet there. Groups of people don't meet at these other places, Rick.
I think they go into effect. I said this goes into effect today. I think this goes into effect Wednesday.
Wednesday night at midnight.
It's coming Wednesday night. So,
I mean, imagine if they did some sort of directive like that here in the state of Florida, Rick. Lots of construction going on across the state here. I mean, we are booming here in Florida. Florida is hot right now, economy-wise. Part of that is we have a huge construction boom going on here all over the state. Why? People are wanting to move to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Come on down. We've got lots of room. Come on down. Move to Florida. Don't bring your liberal ideas, but come to Florida. But imagine if they said to the construction industry here in Florida, you have to cut back 75% of your workforce immediately. It's shut down the state here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really would.
Well, in the story from Australia, Rick, another part that caught my eye was that weddings will be banned. All weddings are banned until August 6th, or from starting at August 6th, rather, that you will no longer be able to get married in Melbourne, the biggest city in Australia.
So, and they have specific restrictions on this. There's an 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew. You are not allowed to be out. You can't leave your home at night. The only reason to leave home during these hours is for work, medical care, and caregiving. You've got to stay within 5 kilometers of your home, about 3 miles of your home. And recreational activity is no longer allowed. You can exercise for 1 hour each day, but it must be within 3 miles of your home, basically. And that's part of the new restrictions, too.
Let's put up from the Age, government flags harsher penalties for breaching COVID-19 restrictions.
Yes.
Within a 24-hour period, the police had issued $250,000 worth of fines to people who had basically left their house. And they're saying that they're going to be extremely stringent, show no mercy. If you violate any of the lockdown orders, you will be issued fines. You could face jail time.
Now, that number, Rick, $250,000, that was just in one 24-hour period.
Yes, a 24-hour period.
One 24-hour period. They issued that many fines. Australians are not going along with this, and so the only way to enforce it is to hit their pocketbook.
And if they're saying that all occurred on Sunday, that's only 172 fines, according to the Age. That would make these fines upwards of $10,000 each, more. I mean, think of the math on that. $250,000 at 172. But my question, Rick, is that what about the policemen issuing these fines? Are they immune to this killer disease? How are they issuing all these fines and going around looking for people playing Pokemon Go and going to fast food restaurants and going to the grocery stores to catch you?
Well, if the virus is that deadly, you wouldn't want to send your law enforcement out there looking for people.
That's right.
The virus must be blue and black. It's for the police.
Now,
okay.
They actually, and this is a trend of what's going to happen. The police were inspecting public places. This is from this article. Public places, businesses, and homes for compliance.
Homes.
For compliance. That's what's happening
now
in Australia.
We're now getting to the place they're starting to push their nose into your home. And we're seeing this appearing in other countries. We've heard officials in the West Coast, California, Ventura County, who said, he said that months ago. He said the state has the authority to come into your home.
And drag you out.
And take you out. Separate families. So we're going into another phase of this Nazi-like takeover, not only of America, but of the world.
So they're checking for one virus.
And yet I still don't see corpses on the street. I don't see people falling over, dying. I don't know anybody who's sick. I mean, I think you do. You know some people.
I know a few. So.
But I don't know anybody. I'm not saying that that there isn't. I just don't see. Look, if this was a real plague, you wouldn't have to tell me to stay inside.
Exactly.
You wouldn't have to tell me. I'd have enough sense to go, hey, I saw my neighbors, you know, being carried out in body bags. I'm not going out there.
I was at Applebee's the other night, and someone dropped dead at the table. Right. You know, I would start saying, you know what, this is a sign that maybe I need to do something.
That's right. No, they're doing something, Doc. Next one is South China. This is number 18. This is South China Morning Post. Japan, Okinawa governor fears collapse of the healthcare system. And we're showing this to you just to give you an idea of how there is a worldwide publicity push this in the past week, telling people in nation after nation, it's gotten really bad again. Everybody's dying. And yet if you ask everybody, who do you know who died? Very few people would know anybody who died. Typically, it's a senior citizen in a nursing home who died of being old. And then it was entered in as COVID-19.
Or someone who had a severe health crisis of some other kind,
yes,
like a car accident, right, being marked as COVID.
Yes.
So you need to question everything that you're hearing from the mainstream media. They're not telling all the truth about this.
Well, Doc, how about Philippines? The next one, this is Straits Time, which is the Singapore paper, but millions in the Philippines back on lockdown. Doc, you have a lot of contacts back in the Philippines. What's going on?
Well, they had opened the window up, so to speak, for easing some of the restrictions on the lockdown. President Duterte is saying they can't afford a second wave. But now that the number of cases, not the number of deaths, but once again, but the number of cases have started to go back up, especially in the more urban areas, they've gone once again to a full lockdown mode, which is pretty much strangling the Philippine economy right now. And so it's really rough. And since I have family that's there, and it's really causing a lot of struggle for families. I mean, you know, we're sending money to help our family over there and everything. Mm-hmm. But there comes a point, you know, people have to work. People have to get out. And in the Philippines, they take it very seriously. If you try to break a roadblock, they'll shoot you in the street. I mean, they won't ask questions. They won't do anything but tell you this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very serious there, Rick.
Dr. Fauci said U.S. states seeing a surge in COVID-19 should reconsider lockdown measures. Now, we know that photograph was not taken at the ball game.
No.
Because he didn't wear a mask at the ball game.
Just like Dr. Birx didn't wear one during her interview at the golf course in Delaware.
Well, why would you wear one at the golf course?
Well, by her recognition, if we're outdoors and we're around people, which she obviously is around somebody, to set a camera up, and you saw the man getting into the golf cart in the background as she was speaking to CNN, she's breaking her own recommendations.
Oh, but she's a government employee.
Oh, that's right. They're immune. They're immune both to the fines and the virus.
The ones that make me laugh are the news media people who tell you to wear a mask, but they don't wear a mask.
Right.
They're sitting in their studios, and they're not wearing masks. Well, you may say, well, they're socially distanced from everybody else. Well, don't you think as a matter of patriotic duty, they should wear a mask so that they would be sending a message to everybody watching them, you should be wearing a mask. But you don't see the people on CNN and Fox and MSNBC and BBC wearing masks. But they're telling you, you should. And they're saying, if you don't wear one, you're irresponsible.
You go to jail, you'll be fine.
But they don't wear a mask because they're the news media. And you are you. No? Two classes of people in this world. And the distinction is becoming more evident every day. They're creating a world where there are the peasants, and you have the ruling class. And the ruling class gets to do what they want to do. They don't have to wear masks. They don't have to do anything. But you have to do whatever the ruling class says you must do. And that's what we're witnessing in 2020. The next one is Mr. Kashkari, who is on the Federal Reserve, I think Minneapolis.
Yes, Minneapolis Federal Reserve
Bank. He wants to shut down the entire U.S. economy for 6 weeks. This is a Federal Reserve president.
Right. Which is neither federal nor a reserve, right. Either one.
So why would somebody in the banking, in the national banking agency, the Federal Reserve, why would they want the entire U.S. economy shut down? You would think he would be saying the opposite. Like, we can't afford this.
His rationale, this is the calculus he did in his brain and to the CBS Face Nation, was that if we don't do it for 4 to 6 weeks, we could be doing it for up to 2 years. He said we're going to have waves of reoccurrences, resurgences.
But that's what they told us back in March.
That's right.
Yes.
They told us in March, just do it for right now. But we're back now, and now the summertime, we have a second wave. And by October, Edward, there's going to be a third wave.
I believe it. There may be 15 waves at this count. They don't ever have to explain to us, like they also don't explain the disparages between the recovery numbers and the infection numbers. But think about it. Shouldn't all the infected who don't die, shouldn't they also now be counted as recovered on the numbers?
They should, but they don't count that. But Rick, you asked the question, why would they be motivated to do this? Well, he tells us at the very end of the article here, he says, I'm not worried about it. He said, Congress used this opportunity to support the American people and the American economy. Now, listen to what he says next here. If we get the economy going, we'll be able to pay off the debt, Kashkari added.
How? We're going to pay off the debt? How?
Well, what he doesn't say is the Federal Reserve is producing the debt. And they're also the ones that are printing the money to pay off the debt.
How are we going to pay off the debt?
We're not going to pay off. Who even cares about the national debt anymore, Rick? Does anybody?
No.
We're at $26 trillion in debt. But does that matter to anyone anymore? No, it's just a number now. If it was $100 trillion, would anyone care? No one would care.
And by next year, it may be.
What he's referring to is Europe's $1 trillion bailout. He wants the United States to do the same. In Europe, they rationalized it at a 0.1 or 0.01 interest rate. You get $1 billion a year in interest.
The Democrats want $3 trillion bailout.
Right. They want another trillion.
They want $3 trillion.
But this is in bonds. The EU did it in bonds. They want to add this on top of the debts already been created to meet the needs of the government. They want to do bonds.
I'm going to jump down to number 24. Texas got caught fudging the death toll. Texas adjusts total coronavirus deaths slightly lower after discovering automation error.
Automation error.
How do you automate deaths? How do you automate the recording of humans dying?
Well, if you're assigning them already infected or possibly dead when they walk in the door of the hospital, I suppose maybe that's where the error went from.
You mean you prematurely announce people's deaths weeks before they died?
And this isn't just a small number. They attributed 225 deaths to coronavirus that had nothing to do with coronavirus at all.
So they had to walk it back, right. Reduce the death toll by 225 people.
Right.
How many times have we seen stories like this?
But you're not supposed to question it. You're not supposed to ask those kinds of questions, Rick.
But that's what I do for a living. I ask those questions. Let's jump over to Israel. Israel has an outbreak right now, and Israel is calling up military reservists to fight coronavirus.
So this will be 3,000 joining the Home Front Command. Now, according to Bloomberg, they're going to be used for epidemiological investigations, so looking into the sources of the infection, the coronavirus trackers. And they'll also be used as quarantine hotel staff. So those who are being placed in hotels, which have been commandeered, the soldiers will guard them.
Hey, Rick, don't you think those soldiers should be wearing their masks properly?
They're not?
No, look at you got several of them that don't have their mask on properly. They've got their nose exposed. One gentleman sitting on the bench doesn't even have the mask covering his mouth. You know why? Because it's fake. That's why. It's a fake response.
Well, if there's anything good that's come out of this, IDF soldiers are not shooting Palestinian boys in the head.
No, they've got some new targets going on now. And let's face facts, Rick. These draft reservists aren't being called up to help fight the coronavirus outbreak. They're being called up to help fight the Netanyahu outbreak, the riot outbreaks that's happened over at Netanyahu's house.
You got it. Did you want to say something?
Just real quick, you pointed out something on this photo. It's a photo anywhere in the world. If we're going to take this absolutely serious, that this is a killer disease, then why aren't we sanitizing our cell phones? Look what all those soldiers are using right there. Where does that cell phone go? It goes everywhere these soldiers are going. Probably never gets cleaned. I don't think I know anyone who's cleaning their cell phone. Wouldn't that be a vector for the killer disease?
Edward, if this virus was as bad as Fauci and all of them tell us, we wouldn't be touching anything that somebody else touched.
Right. Nothing.
That's how I know the whole thing is hyped up. It's a lot of drama. There's a virus. As Doc says, the virus is real. The response is fake. Now, Doc mentioned that the real reason the Israeli government is drafting, calling up reservists, is not to fight coronavirus, but to fight the Israelis who want to topple the corrupt Netanyahu regime. And over the weekend, thousands of people gathered again in front of the home of Benjamin Netanyahu, demanding that he resign. It's hard to believe, Doc, this is happening in Israel.
And in our, quote, the greatest democracy in the Middle East, they had to resort to drastic measures in order to respond to protesters in front of Benjamin Netanyahu's house.
They used old-fashioned water cannons.
Yes, they did.
To break up the protests. Watch this video from Israel.
The ADL considers those trucks to be anti-Semitic?
Well, I don't know, Edward. They were busting up that protest there in Israel.
Did you see the blue dye that was mixed
yes.
in the water? And so that's a new technique from the past several years. They're marking protesters, you know, with having blue dye either, they'll do a smoke with blue dye in it or they'll do a water cannon with blue dye.
To mark the protesters.
And so... I guess
it's hard to go back to work in the morning.
I say, hey, where'd you get all that
explain
blue?
Why your face is blue.
So that's happening right now. So they're not all sitting down by the River Jordan singing the song of Moses. Some are protesting against Benjamin Netanyahu. Hey,
this next one, I found this to be very interesting. This is a Times of Israel. Protesters are trampling on democracy, says Benny Gantz. They must be protected. Now, Benny Gantz is the kind of the vice prime minister they're doing a power-sharing deal after the last election.
Right.
So you've got Benjamin Netanyahu saying, bring out the water cannons, bring out the military, where are the dogs, get rid of these protesters.
But the military guy is saying, Benny Gantz.
General Benny Gantz is saying, we must protect the protesters.
Why does this sound familiar?
It sounds like the United States. You've got Donald Trump saying, we have to do something about the protesters, and the Democrats are saying the protesters must be protected.
And not just the Democrats. military generals,
yes,
like Mark Milley,
yes,
I mean, saying this.
And we're not talking about protesters. We're talking, in the United States, we're talking about
rioters.
By the way, I was thinking about this over the weekend. That the U.S. media and the Democrats have introduced a new term into our minds in 2020.
What's that?
Peaceful riots.
Peaceful riots.
I was thinking about that over the weekend. We've been told to believe that there's something called peaceful riots.
Is that like a safe space for anarchy?
Yes. Isn't that what they've told us?
That's right. That you can riot, but
it's peaceful.
Right.
Peaceful rioting.
So peaceful Molotovs. So
we get this situation in Israel where the Israeli political establishment is split. One side, Netanyahu's side, wanting to crush the protesters. And then the political left, which would be Gantz and military, saying,
yes,
we need to protect the protesters. Well, Benny Gantz knows as long as those protesters show up, the faster he's going to be prime minister.
Yes.
Well, I think something interesting may come out of this, Rick. Is that
he may be secretly behind the protest.
It could be, or he's helping Benjamin Netanyahu because he was his chief of staff for the army back in 2013. But because there are people actually gathering, I think what you may see come out of this, Rick, is new leaders. People who are leading some of these protests may actually stand up and say, well, how about I try to run for prime minister? We don't know their names yet, but that's what happens out of these kind of movements.
Mm-hmm. Well, they got to be in the parliament to become a prime minister. So we're going to go from Israel, where the government is collapsing, and then we're going to come to the United States and show you where the government is collapsing. This is a Bloomberg article. Top Democrat says Trump is planning emergency to stay in office. This accusation was issued by Congressman James Clyburn, a Democrat from South Carolina. He says President Trump plans to install himself in some kind of emergency way to continue to hold on to office. In fact, in this article, Congressman Clyburn said he compared President Trump to Mussolini. It's pretty strong words coming from a senior Democrat saying Trump is acting like Mussolini. He's becoming a fascist dictator. He's going to create a national emergency, and he's going to stay in the White House. Mm. Doc, is Congressman Clyburn being melodramatic, or is he actually recognizing what may happen?
It doesn't help matters any when President Trump tweets out something like on last Thursday, he says, should we delay the election until we get everything under control? Mm-hmm. You know, President Trump, you really shouldn't say that out loud. I mean, to even put that out there.
But you shouldn't say you're going to stay for a third term and a fifth term and Trump forever. And we said that last year.
Yes.
That's not funny. That's not trolling the Democrats. No responsible president has ever insinuated that he's going to ignore the Constitution of the United States and stay in office in perpetuity.
Right.
And President Trump has done that. And when we have criticized him for it, the very rabid Trump supporters watching True News say, you don't get it. He's joking. He's trolling the Democrats. Well, was he trolling the Democrats last week when he said, let's suspend the election. Let's postpone the election.
And let's put the shoe on the other foot. If President Barack Hussein Obama had said, hey, we need to delay the elections in order to, you know, take care of a crisis that's going on, everyone on the right would be, you know, going, oh, he's going to delay the election. He's making himself a dictator. The shoe fits either way, Rick.
Well, the delusion is that a lot of these folks don't realize they're ready for a king.
Well, if you remember, you're right, Edward. If you go back to 2016, actually January of 2017, there were a lot of Republicans who feared that Barack Obama was not going to leave the White House.
That's absolutely it, yes. They were actually saying this is the reason why we have to vote for an outsider, because the political class has become so entrenched that we may now have someone that has the popular support to stay past the constitutional limit.
We have a video clip of Congressman Clyburn making this accusation that President Trump is going to orchestrate a national emergency this fall and remain in the White House.
Do you really think Donald Trump is comparable to Adolf Hitler?
What I said starting about 2.5, maybe 3 years ago after one of his State of the Unions, that I feel very strongly that this man has taken on a strong-arm tactics. And I feel very strongly that he is Mussolini, Putin is Hitler. I said that back then, and I believe that. I believe very strongly that this guy never had any idea about being one to peacefully transfer power. I don't think he plans to leave the White House. He doesn't plan to have fair and unfettered elections. I believe that he plans to install himself in some kind of emergency way to continue to hold on to office. And that's why the American people had better wake up. I know a little bit about history, and I know how countries find their demise. It is when we fail to let democracy, and the fundamentals of which is a fair, unfettered election. And that's why he's trying to put a cloud over this election, floating the idea of postponing the elections. He does not, and I saw what the Steve Miller within the last few hours. That is some of the worst stuff I've ever heard in my life. This is not a perfect democracy, but it's better than any other that it exists. And I really feel that the fundamentals are being frayed. And if we are not careful, this country that will be lost for our next generation, our children and our grandchildren.
Well, Democrats are just jealous they didn't do it first, Rick.
But seriously, would Donald Trump... Things are not going well for him right now. And if the election were held today, I think he'd lose in a massive landslide. Would Donald Trump attempt to create a national emergency? And we floated, and we got the idea by reading Asian newspapers.
Yes.
That Asian newspapers were discussing the possibility, and again, we mentioned this last week, that it could be Chinese propaganda, but there were various Asian newspapers that were discussing the possibility that the United States would seize one of the disputed islands in the South China Sea and bring about a confrontation with China in October as an October surprise, like war with China in October. Would that be a national emergency? You better believe it would. A war with China in late October? Yes, we're in a national emergency. Would Donald Trump do that?
In a year like 2020, I say anything's possible, Rick. And I could really, would it shock you? No, it wouldn't shock you.
Nothing
at all,
shocks me anymore.
It
nothing.
Shock you.
I'm not shocked by any of them. Democrats or Republicans, I'm not shocked by any of it. I'm braced for any crazy thing to happen. I'm waiting on the space aliens to land. I mean, what else is left?
Cannibals.
Cannibal space aliens, right. I hope they wear their mask. Next year, I told Doc and Edward, next year, probably what we'll be talking about is why are space aliens allowed to walk around without masks and we have to stay home and wear masks? That's how weird the news will be. It's so strange. You can't rule out anything right now. But in this matter of a national emergency, I had not thought about the U.S. seizing islands in the South China Sea until I read that article last week, but it lines up with the tension that's building between the United States and China. I mean, we have accused them of sending the virus here, of destroying our economy.
We accuse them of using a weapon of mass destruction,
yes.
At minimum, accidentally against us.
Well, are we going to see a report somewhere around October 1st, the evidence that the U.S. government has the hard evidence that China released the virus?
I think you'll see that when the second wave arrives. And we know there's a second wave.
They're telling us we're in the second wave.
But we are not at the peak of it yet.
That's the third wave.
So, but when that arrives, then there'll be some report that drops out. And it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It doesn't matter.
In other words, they'll be telling the American people, aren't you fed up with this? Aren't you tired of being locked up? Aren't you tired of wearing a mask? It's all because of China.
That's right. China's fault. You don't want to be locked up in your house anymore. Watch us beat China on TV. Watch it. That's basically what the script is kind of leading us to, right, Rick?
What does war with China look like in October of 2020?
Well, if it isn't nuclear right off the bat, it could look like us bombing strategic islands. It could look like us expelling diplomats. Really, to be honest, before a war would happen, we would expel all the Chinese from our country. It could be a huge pogrom of Chinese leaving America.
Didn't we just start that?
We started it with the embassy in Houston, but you've spoken to this before. Why would the Chinese or the Russians, for that matter, fight a war with America that they wouldn't end almost immediately? There is no halfway mark with a world war between two nuclear-armed powers. We're not going to play games with our warships and our tanks. We're going to use our weapons of mass destruction to end it.
And we're not going to fight a war here. No, we're going to fight a war somewhere else. Somewhere else where we can beat them up and we can watch it on TV, but don't let it come home here. The South China Sea is the perfect place for that because we can bomb the daylights out of there, everything they've
built. How do we prevent the Chinese from nuking American cities? Do you remember a couple of years ago? It's been about 5 years ago. Because I remember where our studio was at. So it was about the time, maybe 7 years ago. You've been with us, 7 years now? Almost maybe 6, 7 years ago. There was a Chinese newspaper published a map of the United States and showed the cities that would be destroyed in a nuclear war.
Yes, I remember.
And
that.
Gave the estimated death toll per city. That was like 5, 6, 7 years ago. It was also shown on national television in China. So even the Americans who heard that report, quickly forgot about it. But the Chinese didn't forget about it. The war planners in Beijing didn't forget about it. They're still moving in that direction. And the U.S. and China are becoming hostile enemies. So I'm not ruling out a war with China before the end of this year, before November.
The assumption is if we have a war, you got to know the military leaders are thinking this. The assumption is if we have a war with China, they can't touch us. They can't hurt us. They can't injure us. But we can injure them.
Yes.
I'm not that confident. I've read about the underground tunnels in China. We've done those reports.
Philip Carber.
We've talked
the
about
submarines.
The EMP weapons.
And the submarines.
Right. So that's a very realistic thing. Too many visions and prophecies from 15, 20 years ago impact my viewpoint on this, that we can be beat.
I want to put number 32. I got this one out of the Japan Times. Look at this headline. A coup could easily happen in the U.S. and soon. This is what people in Japan read. A coup could easily happen in the United States, and it could happen soon. Why do you think people in Japan are writing articles about political instability in the United States?
Because it's politically unstable here in the United States. There's too many uncertain things that are going on here in our nation right now. When you have, questions of tweets like the president saying, hey, let's delay the election. What? You can't say stuff like that. That's going to have international consequences. Other nations looking in on this are going to say it's all falling apart.
Doc, I want to show you, this is number 31. This is from Fox News. And CNN's April Ryan cannot wait to see armed forces pull Donald Trump from the White House. This is a news commentator on CNN saying, I can't wait until armed forces go into the White House and drag Donald Trump out of the White House. How close are we to civil war, to revolution? When this is being spoken on CNN,
by a paid CNN employee.
Who also serves as a White House correspondent.
Yes. Oh, is she? She's a White House correspondent? We're right on the edge of civil war, of revolution, of total chaos in this country. And it literally could break out at any time. But I think as we get closer to November is when we're going to see everything break loose. Edward, do you see any signs that President Trump would attempt to do something to delay the election?
That's a tough question. I don't think the president would do it. I think his staff might. Jared Kushner, others in the national security apparatus of the country, Mike Pompeo, for example, might have said that for the neoconservative and the war lobby in the country to continue progression forward, continue the funding for keeping America safe, we have to have a president like President Trump or someone who could be controlled. Maybe a Joe Biden wouldn't be able to do this. I don't know if the president can do it unless he does it through Twitter by declaring war against another nation. But I could see his staff, many of which have become very accustomed to the privileges that come with having access to the Oval Office, I could see them at least suggesting it and maybe tacitly using the president's power to carry one out.
And what about the scenario, the game that was run last year?
Oh, the cyber reason.
Yes.
I think that is proof that there are people in the apparatus, let's say the deep state of government, because that drill you're referring to was run by alumni of Unit A200, an Israeli intelligence organization. They ran it with high-level members of the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and Department of Energy. Unnamed government officials, much like Event 201, the pandemic drill that Bill Gates ran. This drill was done in a computer scenario, but it ended with the election being canceled in America. And it was actually due to terrorist attacks, deep fakes, all kinds of misinformation being spread by the media, not only depressing people from going out to the ballot, but actually shaking the very trust people have in the electoral system and its results to the point where they said, we're going to have to call the thing off.
Doc, a year ago, when we were talking about this kind of stuff,
who could have imagined this?
We'd actually get to this place,
right,
that both parties would be talking about not having an election.
Right.
And yet that's where we're at right now in August of 2020. The next big news topic, and I'm going to hold this off, but I'm going to show number 34, and we're going to save this for tomorrow because this is going to take a lot of time to go deep into it, and I don't want to rush through it. This came out today, Reuters, Manhattan District Attorney probing Trump and his business over more than hush money payments. The hush money referring to the alleged payoff to the porn star, that the money was supposedly routed through Michael Cohen, his former attorney. But the story, this news article is saying the investigation goes deeper than the hush money. It's now looking at bank fraud, criminal activity inside the Trump organization. I'm only telling you what's in the story. Edward has done a lot of work on this today. And because we're already at almost 10 minutes past the hour into this program, it's going to take a lot of time to go through it. I don't want to rush through it. And I want to save this for tomorrow, but this is a big story. And this is, I think, is connected to the Ghislaine Maxwell arrest.
I do too.
And a lot of other things that are happening out there. The target is Donald Trump.
And to place the question you posed just a moment ago, if there is anything that could push President Trump over the edge to become the dictator that everyone thinks he might, it could be the threat of going to jail over decades upon decades of crimes, which have been covered up by his accounting firm or through the Trump organization.
The only way he could avoid prison right now, other than being found not guilty in a court. But if he loses the election, that Democrats are going to go after him with a vengeance.
Yes.
They're going to put him in prison. They're going to strip his organization bare, the Trump organization. They're going to bankrupt him. They're going to go after the entire Trump organization. I'm talking the political organization.
And the family.
Yes. Doc, the only thing they could do, Edward, is he would have to resign now with an understanding that Vice President Pence would immediately pardon him.
Of any past or future crimes.
Yes.
So,
which would prevent the Democrats from carrying out their plan. That's the only thing he can do right now. Because if he loses the election, he still could resign in November. Vice President Pence would become president for less than 2 months.
But he could still pardon him.
He still could pardon him. But Mr. Pence may not want to do it at that point.
Right.
So that's how risky this is for him right now. Hmm. And look, I don't... We joked about it last year, Donald Trump fleeing to Israel. But I don't rule this out. The former king of Spain fled today.
Yes, he did. He was facing inquiry from the Supreme Court of Spain.
How does a king flee his country?
In the middle of the night.
How does that happen? You're not the king. His son is King Philip, is now the king of Spain, but this is a Juan Carlos. But his father, he said, I'm leaving. They didn't say where he's going. Liechtenstein? Monaco, maybe. Saudi Arabia is who gave him the money.
Yes, they did.
He's being investigated for $100 million that was given to him when he was the king. Okay, that's why King Philip renounced his inheritance last year.
Yes, that's right.
Because that money, part of that money came from Saudi Arabia. Well, what I'm saying is, today we had a king announce that he's fleeing his country. I don't rule out the possibility that Donald Trump will flee the United States and take asylum in Israel. But his buddy in Israel is in trouble, Benjamin Netanyahu. But for all we know, Donald Trump may already have an Israeli passport. He may have had an Israeli passport for decades. We don't know. And then he could move to Trump Heights and become the king of Israel, which here in the United States, there would be a lot of evangelical Zionists very happy, and they would be minting coins.
Oh, you mean like they already are? So yeah.
Well, the evangelical Zionists aren't having a good year either. We could go off into another story on that. A lot of their empires are collapsing this year. God is doing a shaking. It's a shaking. You know, Doc, Edward won't remember this, but decades ago, it was almost like in America, you couldn't go to church that at least once in a Sunday, in a month, somebody would prophesy that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. How many times did you hear that prophecy?
Going into this year, 2020 is going to be the year of clear vision. Yes. That things are going to, was a 2020 vision, I guess.
Sure. So, but decades ago, there just seemed to be a common theme. People said, God, there's coming a day God's going to shake everything that can be shaken. It's happening right now.
Right, including
the church.
The church.
The religious organizations are being shaken. Hmm. Everything is unstable right now. The only thing that is stable is Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
He is the rock.
The sure foundation.
Okay? And you need to be standing on the rock, not under the rock, okay?
Because that rock will crush you.
Yes, yes. Like a rock will crush. So you want to be standing on the rock. And if you're standing on the rock, he's a sure foundation, and nothing in your life is going to crumble or fall. You put your life in Jesus Christ. Build your life on that rock. Doesn't matter what's happening in the world. The world is literally breaking up in front of our eyes. The old world order is breaking up, and a new world order is emerging, emerging in front of us, and we're witnessing this, is a spectacle to behold. But it's not good for your sleep at night. All right, I sleep well, as I rest in Christ.
Amen.
But I know a lot of people are troubled by all this. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you should be troubled. I mean, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a lot more to stay up and think about than politics and the economy. You need to think about your soul, the eternal destination of your soul. So get that taken care of right away. Call on the name of Jesus Christ to save you. Hey, on behalf of Edward and Doc, I'm Rick Wiles. Thank you so much for watching today's edition of True News. We'll be back here tomorrow. As always, God bless.
God bless you.